6 days in June, that's the title of tonight's Bible study. As we announced on Sunday night, we're going to think tonight about the Six-Day War. This year is the 50th anniversary of that mighty victory that God gave to the nation of Israel. They were surrounded by their enemies. To the north, you had Syria up in the Golan Heights, ready to annihilate Israel from the north. Down at the south, you had Egypt, who told the UN peacekeepers to get out of the Sinai region. And the Egyptians, they brought their troops to that area down to the south of Israel. To the east, you had Jordan, the Jordanians. So there you had Israel 50 years ago surrounded by their enemies. Enemies who said that they were going to turn the blue Mediterranean Sea red with the blood of Jews. That's what they actually said. They were going to turn the water of the Mediterranean Sea from blue to red by driving the Jews into the sea. And they were going to wipe them off the face of the earth. But they were to learn a very, very hard lesson. And anyone who messes with Israel, they're headed for trouble. That's all I'm going to say. Anyone who attacks Israel attacks the apple of God's eye. And there's a lovely phrase in Isaiah chapter 46. You don't have to turn it up now, but when you go home, if you want to read Isaiah 46, at the very end of that chapter, there's three lovely words. Israel, my glory. The Lord calls Israel his glory. Israel, my glory. The Lord loves Israel, and he always will love Israel. And of course, we look forward to that day whenever, as the prophet Zechariah said, that he would pour upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication. And they will mourn over the Messiah that they rejected, and they will turn to him. And what a day that will be. So let's think tonight about these 6 days and this glorious victory, deliverance that the Lord gave to Israel. This is one of the famous pictures from 50 years ago. It's the Israeli paratroopers as they entered into the old city of Jerusalem. And does anybody know where they're standing at? Any ideas where they're standing? Beside the wall, correct. The Western Wall, as it's now known, or it used to be known as the Wailing Wall. Okay, because over the centuries, the Jews wailed and they lamented and mourned because they didn't have access to Jerusalem and to the old city. And they wailed. Their hearts were broken because they loved Jerusalem and because they wanted to be able to go to the Wailing Wall to pray. The Wailing Wall is the most holy site in Judaism. And that's why today you see Jews of all descriptions, ultra-Orthodox and more, I suppose, for the want of a better word, ordinary, everyday Jews who will go to the Wailing Wall, the Western Wall, and they'll pray there. And you see some of the ultra-Orthodox and they're genuflecting, I think is the phrase. They're bobbing back and forward as they pray at the wall. And so here's the paratroopers. They've come to the wall in 1967, and they're overcome with emotion. And look at them, they're just standing there speechless. They've been barred from Jerusalem for, you might say, 2,000 years. This is a momentous occasion, historic occasion, and they're there, and they're just taking it all in. The wonder of standing here beside the Holy Temple, or the remains of the Holy Temple. Well, here's another famous iconic image. This is one of the military chaplains, one of the rabbis. And what's he doing? What has he got there? He's, good man, John. The shofar, yes, the horn, Margaret, that's it. It's the shofar, and he's giving a blast of the shofar horn. The shofar, of course, was used in scripture for warfare. It was used to sound an alarm. And here, after the victory of the Six-Day War, the rabbi, he's blowing the shofar to say, Jehovah has given the victory, we've won the war, we've won the battle. And again, that was another remarkable happening. There's quite a few famous pictures from that time. Here are three of the military leaders of the Israeli people 50 years ago. That man there is probably not very well known. I would doubt if any of you have heard of him. Maybe you'll prove me wrong, but he's General Narkis was his name. This man over here is better known. You ever heard of Yitzhak Rabin? Yitzhak Rabin, he was actually murdered by a Jewish man, assassinated. The man in the middle, any ideas? The man with the famous eye patch. Good man. Well done. Moshe Dayan, yes. He was the Israeli defense minister at the time, General Moshe Dayan. Do you know on the 8th of June, 1967, one day after the Jews liberated Jerusalem, Moshe Dayan went to the Wailing Wall and he brought a little piece of paper. You know how the Jews, when they go to the Western Wall, they often bring little pieces of paper, little prayers, and they'll put them into the crevices in the wall. So this day, the 8th of June, Moshe Dayan goes to the wall with his little note, his little piece of paper, pushes it into the crevice, doesn't say anything to anybody, just walks away. But the journalists, of course, curiosity killed the cat, as they say, and the journalists, they go to the wall and they fish out the piece of paper. Do you know what was written on it? Psalm 118, verse 23. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. Now, that's quite something coming from a man who wasn't very religious. Because Moshe Dayan was not a very, very religious man. But yet, after this marvelous victory 50 years ago, he was moved to think of Psalm 118, verse 23, of the Lord's doing. The Lord gave the victory to the Jews over the Syrians, the Egyptians, the Jordanians, many other nations, by the way, who were supporting those Arab nations, Iraq, even African countries, Morocco, Sudan. They were giving aid to the Arab nations who were fighting against Israel. But the Lord gave the victory, this marvelous victory. Well, there were some miracles, some marvelous incidents during the Six-Day War. I'm going to just mention a couple of them tonight, just to prove that what happened in 1967 was marvelous. That it was the Lord's doing, it was marvelous in the eyes of Moshe Dayan and the other leaders. At the very beginning of the Six-Day War, on day one, the Israelis launched their air force and the planes went up into the air early in the morning on the 5th of June 1967, and they went to attack the Egyptian air force. The Egyptians were still on the ground. Their planes were on the ground. Someone sent a warning message to the high command of the Egyptian Air Force, but the message couldn't be understood. They couldn't decode it. And so they weren't prepared for the attack that the Israelis were about to launch upon the airfields. And that day, the first day, really, of the war was won. Because of that strike by the IAF, the Israeli Air Force, the war was more or less won on the very first day. Can you see the hand of God in the war? God was on Israel's side. There was another incident. There was an IDF truck, you know, the Israeli Defense Forces, the soldiers. One of their trucks was stockpiled with explosive ammunition, desperately needed to rearm the Jewish troops. That truck was hit by a live grenade. And it should have exploded, and then all the ammunition and explosives in the truck would have exploded and caused horrendous damage to the area around the truck. That grenade landed on top of the truck, but didn't explode. Can you explain it? The only way we can explain it is say, this is the Lord's doing. It is marvellous in our eyes. And by the way, our God hasn't changed. The God who fought for Israel 50 years ago is the God that we're praying to tonight. Why am I mentioning these miracles, these marvellous happenings? To inspire us to pray. That our God is the God of miracles. Do you realize, dear friends, tonight that we can cry out to this same God and he can perform miracles in our church today, in our lives, in our community? What a God we serve. There was one instance in the Golan Heights whenever the Israelis were about to enter into battle with the Syrian troops. And they were just about to engage the Syrian troops whenever the Syrians fled. Left their post. Just ran for their lives. You know, afterwards someone asked those troops, why did you run? They said that they had seen frightening visions. Frightening visions that scared them and warned them off from attacking the Jews. Miraculous things that happened. Things that can't be explained apart from the divine intervention. The Lord was on Israel's side. After 6 days of war, Israel had seized all the Sinai and Gaza from Egypt, the West Bank and all of Jerusalem from Jordan, and the Golan Heights from Syria. After 6 days. 6 days, that's all it took Israel to win the war. The reason why they won it so quickly was because the Lord was on their side. Turn with me just as we draw our message to a conclusion to Psalm 83. Psalm 83. Just want to say a few comments, make a few comments on this psalm and then a few comments on Jehoshaphat. But Psalm 83, verse 1. Keep not thou silence, O God, hold not thy peace, and be not still, O God, for lo, thine enemies make a tumult, and they that hate thee have lifted up the head. They have taken crafty counsel against thy people, and consulted against thy hidden ones. They have said, come, and let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be no more in remembrance. That's what the enemies of Israel said 50 years ago. Come and let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be no more in remembrance. Well, what about Jehoshaphat? Let's think about him. King Jehoshaphat, the great Israeli king from a bygone era. We've read tonight how the enemies of Israel surrounded Judah. Surrounded the Jews. What did Jehoshaphat do first of all? Well, if you go back there to 2 Chronicles 20, you see there what Jehoshaphat did. What was his first move? Well, look. Verse 3. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord. If you go down to the next verse, and Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. So it starts with the king upon the throne, Jehoshaphat. He starts praying, and he inspires his people to pray. Jehoshaphat called the nation to prayer. That is the very best thing that you can do in an hour of crisis. Isn't it sad that our prime minister, that our queen, that the leaders in our country, that they don't call for a day of prayer? You would think that would be the first thought after what happened on Monday week 10 days ago, the awful atrocity in Manchester that we spoke about on Sunday night. You would think that the leaders would call for prayer, call the nation to prayer. Seek the Lord at this terrible hour when 22 people have been murdered by terrorists. But no sign of a call to prayer. But you see, Jehoshaphat, he called the nation to prayer. That was the first stage in the victory. Well, what else did he do? It's very interesting if you go on down there to verse 21. Verse 21, and when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that should praise the beauty of holiness, as they went out before the army, and to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. Jehoshaphat, he puts the singers at the front of the battle. The singers are the vanguard. They're at the front. Did you ever hear of a military leader putting singers at the front of his army? Jehoshaphat didn't put the swordsmen at the front. He didn't put the spearmen at the front. He didn't put any of the soldiers at the front. He called the singers and he said, you go to the front. What's the lesson? Well, simply this. Praising the Lord will bring the victory. Start off with prayer. But oh, don't forget about praise. And you see, the singers were praising the Lord. Did you see it there? Praise the beauty of holiness. Praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. By the way, when it says praise the beauty of holiness, it's speaking about the Lord's holiness. Those singers weren't going into the battle singing about their own holiness. Praising their own holiness, not a bit of it. They were praising the Lord's holiness because there is none holy as the Lord. And you notice what happened whenever they began to sing and praise the Lord in verse 22. And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. The Lord gave the victory to Jehoshaphat. What would it be? 2,500 years ago, 3,000 years ago. A great victory. We're here tonight to think about a great victory 50 years ago in the Six-Day War. The Lord gave the victory. But you know, we've come to a prayer meeting tonight. And we need the Lord to give us the victory in this prayer meeting. May the Lord help us tonight. And even in the words of the hymn writer, that he would bless us with victory, victory. Blessed blood-bought victory, 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 victory all the time. As Jehovah liveth, strength divine he giveth unto those who know him. Victory all the time.